not understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way towards the other side. As they left the shore, they faced a storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. And that's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face a storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I."
That and that much more. Well, I'm glad to know the Lord tonight. I hope you enjoyed the singing. I've enjoyed the singing, the songs, and you just can't beat the Lord tonight. Yeah. Just can't beat the Lord. All right. Well, anybody got anything to say? Help yourself. If not, we'll get right into the message. All right. Well, we have been preaching, as you know, for 2 months on a little four-letter word, love. And it's not what we think it is. It's not how we've lived it, not how we've been told it, but I don't think that I've showed you anything that was not Bible. I believe I'll give you the Word of God, and we'll give you the Word of God tonight again. We want to try to end on a high note if we can, if that would be possible. Preaching on love, you would think, well, it always ought to be on a high note, but it's not always like that. I think sometimes instead of getting the help, struggle with the conviction, but we don't accept the help. You understand what I'm saying? We struggle with the conviction and say, okay, that's true, all right? But then we don't accept the help that's given. And the Word of God cuts coming and going, but there's always grace. I want you to know that. In all these messages that we've preached, we've been guilty of everything that's been on the guilty part, and we've been slack on the positive part, all right? When it comes to me loving God, I don't love Him near like I should. And then on everything else, I fail. I'm trying to do better. I want to do better, and I want you to pray for me that I'll do better. I'm praying for you that you do better, and I want you to pray for me that I do better, all right? Let's pray tonight. Father, I come. Lord, you are wonderful. There's no doubt about that. And Lord, if there's ever a time that we need you, it's now. Lord, I cannot do anything in my own strength. Lord, I can't do it. I'm not able to stand here this evening unless you give me strength, unless you prop me up. Lord, unless you give me the breath, the wind, unless you give me the mind, unless you give me the ability, Lord, I can't do nothing. And Lord, it's not important me, Lord, that you are important. Your word is important. Help us to trust that, and we're going to thank you for it all. Lord, please search me out. Cleanse me, Lord, where I'm dirty. And Lord, may you give me power tonight that I might preach as you want me to. Not as I want, but as you want. And Lord, please help us to listen this evening and apply again the word of God to our hearts. And we're going to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me turn this other thing on here, and we'll try to get going. We've been preaching on love, all right? And love is, again, not what we've thought. A lot of times we confuse love and lust. We confuse feelings more than we do fact. We want to love our way instead of God's way. The Bible says that God is love, so we can't love without God. You understand that? Love is God. God is love. We can't love without God. I don't care which part it is, loving Him, loving one another, loving our enemy, loving the children, don't matter. We can't love without God. Now, the world has a brand of it, okay? But what it is, it becomes more emotional than anything. But God's love is truth. And God's love is Him tonight. And we want to live for Him. We want to live not just in front of Him. We don't just want to live that way, but we want Him to live in us and us show forth. You believe that tonight? And we ought to show forth what He's put in our heart? I believe that's the way it ought to be tonight. So let's look at some things. Again, you serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. And again, our actions speak. We don't have to speak. We don't have to answer not one question. We don't have to answer, am I doing it? I'm not. Our actions say what we do, what we believe. We don't hide nothing. Everybody understand that? We're an open book, all right? If we say one thing and act another, then what we said is just not true. You understand that? And if we're not doing anything, it don't matter what we say. You understand? It's not just going to be words. It ain't going to be words. It's going to be noticed, all right? Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. I don't know of a statement other than the Word of God any truer than that statement right there, that love is an unselfish concern about another's welfare. See, what we need to understand tonight, that all of Christianity is not about us, but it's about others. It's about others. It's about Christ. It's about others. Christ came. His whole ministry was about others. Everything about God is others. You think about that. God created the heavens and earth. Why did he create that? To make man. And when he made man, he gave him everything. Why? Because of others. And he allowed things to go for others. The whole ministry of God, the whole being of God is about others, that we might in turn make it about him. All right? Is everybody still all right? God is not sitting up there prideful and demanding, said, you worship me. That ain't the way God is. All right? He is in control of everything, and he desires our worship, and that's why he's made everything the way he's done it. I mean, who could enjoy? You look at the world today. All right? We live in wild, wonderful West Virginia. There's nowhere else I want to live. All right? Becky, you went to Ireland, and there ain't no place that you seen stuff that you couldn't believe. All right? Rick and Kim, y'all been to Italy. Y'all seen things. Y'all rode horses on the beach in Italy. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. Some of y'all been in the service and been to foreign countries and seen things. Some of you been to Alaska Tim back there used to live out west where a lot of us long ago, he just lived out there every day like it wasn't nothing. He was just raised out there. I mean, things that go on, climates, you got Hawaii, you got all the palm trees and it's 80 degrees all the time and breeze. And then if you don't like that, you can go where it's hot in the desert. And if you don't like that, you go where it's cold and snow. And God made all that on the same planet for everybody to enjoy where they go. You understand? I think he might just care about pleasing just a little bit. And then he died for you, that he could save you, give you eternal life, and everything he's got here don't even hold a candle to what he's got up there. Think about that. So I think maybe we miss it a lot of times about just how big God is and about how he loves us, and he's concerned about my welfare. He's concerned about my joy. He is concerned about my happiness. I got to trust him. And I can be happy with one leg or two. I can be happy one eye or two. I can be happy if I got oxygen or not. I can be happy if I can talk or not. I can be happy. It don't matter. Because I have Christ. All right? Is everybody all right with that? So love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. And then love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. And tonight we're going to be preaching on a certain thing here. And I hope we take this thought to heart. I hope we take this thought to heart tonight. That love is the act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. All right? We've looked at all these things. All of us loving the sinner this morning was the last one. Now let's look at this tonight, loving the church. Let's finish up with this tonight, that we just love the church. Loving the church, that's what we need tonight. Loving the church. The church is important this evening. It's important. It's important to all of our lives. It's important. We need to be loving the church, all right? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, Jesus speaking, he said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Just want you to understand, it's his. The church belongs to him. It belongs to him. I will build my church. It belongs to the Lord. All right? Colossians 1, 17 and 18 says this, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, comma, the church. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's built the church. He's the one who founded the church. He's the one who builds the church. And he is the one as to have the preeminence in the church. It's got to be Christ above all. It's got to be him above everything. It don't matter about us. It matters about him. Now, it does matter about us because he's put us in it and he's using us. But the glory, they practice it this evening. All the praise goes to who?
Jesus.
Goes to Jesus. All the glory goes to him. And that's the way it's supposed to be. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, says this, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." There's some words we're going to use interchangeable, maybe not once or twice, but maybe several times. We'll see. And that's going to be the house of the Lord, the house of God, the household of faith, the church, the body. All of these things are terms in the Word of God concerning the church, us. All of them things in the Bible, them are all synonym words, all right? It says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets," all right? "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Everything is built upon Jesus Christ. And then the apostles, it says, and the prophets, the word of God, all of that together comes and forms the foundation, forms the church. And we're founded with the word of God. We're founded with the living word and the written word. All right? We got both. And it's all in Christ, all right? "In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." And it's so great, the church is so great, that we're here, we're assembled together in a local church, but then if I'm by myself, I'm the church. And if you're by yourself, you're the church. And I'm a holy habitation of the Lord. And together we're a holy habitation of the Lord. And if we're by ourselves anywhere, the Lord's still there. And he inhabits our life, our heart, our soul, our mind. He's in us. It's Christ in us. Hope of glory. All right? And that's what the Lord has made. Everybody's still okay with me now. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says this, "But if I tarry long," this is Paul writing to Timothy, he said, "if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself," where at? "In the house of God." And what is the house of God? It says, "which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So we see all these words coming together, all these synonyms coming together, that this is the house of God, and it is the church of the living God, all right? The pillar and ground of what? The truth. All right, now all these things is talking about the church. And we want to look tonight about loving the church. I'll be the easiest. This might maybe should be the easiest one, huh? But you know who's in the church, don't you? Husbands and wives and children. You know who's in there, don't you? Brethren and enemies. Huh? You know there's good love and bad love in the church. You know, everything we've done preached is in the message tonight. Everything is in the message tonight. Now, we're not going to go back and preach all 15 sermons. Now, don't get tore up here. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there's 33 churches named by name in the New Testament. 33 local churches named in the New Testament by name. And there are several others that said there's around there. Because of the multiple churches in other regions, it don't give how many. Like when you read in Galatians chapter 1, it says, "Unto the churches of Galatia." Galatia is a region, and there was more than one church there, as I understand that. And you can go back, and there's the churches of Judea, and then there's six, maybe six different regions. There are about maybe nine different regions that there's local churches in, other than the 33 churches that's named. Does everybody follow me? So there's a bunch of local churches, all right, mentioned in the Word of God. But yet there's not but one church that he built, All right? And there's only one body of Christ that we're all part of, but yet then there was a bunch of churches. Is everybody still with me? All right, just want to make sure we're all okay now. And there are one faith, and that's faith in Christ, faith in God. All right, everybody understand? One practice, they all practice the same thing. And they all had one book. All right? It was really simple. You don't get no simpler. Rick says, you don't get no simpler than one. You know, you just don't get no simpler than one. I believe Paul might even said something like it maybe in Ephesians chapter 4, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one. I think he put that one in there right down the line on, what, seven things there maybe. Are we okay? All right. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now, Paul is speaking here to the church of Ephesus. All right. And he said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I believe the scripture will say that he gathered up the men there of Ephesus and he was talking to all of them. And look what he says, and hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right? So we're not talking now, we're not talking about the building. We was talking about different groups of people. Now we're talking about the body of Christ, the church that he purchased with his blood. Is everybody following me tonight? So all these words interchange because if I go to Burma and go over to Samuel or to Tong Lin's church, I'll be part of the church over there. And if I go to Kenya with Brother Samuel, I'll be part of the church. Samuel, if I go visit Paul Childers, I'll be part of the church down there in Italy. I'm still part of the church that he purchased with his blood, right? But then when I come here, I'm part of Mountain State Baptist Church right here. And we're still one church. Everybody understand that? We're still one church. Here we see Paul using the church as all believers and also the local church at Ephesus in that scripture. Both are shown. Is everybody still with me? All right? Now, and I thank God for the church, all right? Now, God bought the church with his blood. And it's a very important thing. It's the body of Christ. It's the local church, all believers in the world, and Mountain State Baptist Church is included in that. All right? Now, when the Lord comes for his church, it ain't just going to be Mountain State it goes. It's going to be the church in Italy with Brother Paul Childers. It's going to be the church in Moldova with Eric Chapman. It's going to be the churches in Burma with Tong Lin, Tang Mani, Peter Judson, 2 Peter. It's going to be the churches in Kenya. It's going to be the churches all over the world. We still okay? Now, we should love the church, and in so doing, we should love all the brethren. And then, in so doing, we should love the membership of this local church. So now we're loving Burmese, we're loving Kenyans and Italians and Moldovans and Nicholas Countyans and Fett Countyans and Clay Countyans and Braxton Countyans and West Virginians and wherever else you're from. All right? Any planet you're from. All right? But we love the membership of this church. Now, that means little members or big members. That means members that ain't able to come and members that are here. That means members that quit coming and members that are here. Everybody still okay? We're talking about loving the church. Now, when I talk about loving the church, it's not the brick and the block and the pews, although we ought to respect it, take care of it, and appreciate it. But when I talk about loving the church, I'm back to loving you now. And that's back to you loving me. But then I'm also loving the ones that don't come no more. I'm supposed to be loving the ones that might never come again. Here we go. What should we love about? Well, we ought to love to attend it. You know? We ought to love to attend the house of God. Now, not out of constraint, but out of love. We ought to love to attend. Now, I'm going to ask you, don't answer, but I'm going to ask you, do you love to attend? Or do you just attend? But do you love to attend? Huh? When I'm tired, I want to go to church. I do. I need. Let me say this. I don't only love to attend. I need to attend. I need the church. I need it. Do y'all look at me like, I need you. You hear me? I need you. I need to know that you're here. I need you. You may feel like you're no account. I need you tonight. You kids, you young people, you teenagers, I need you tonight. And I love to attend the house of God. I love. Psalm 122:1 says, I was glad when they said it to me, let us go in the house of the Lord. And you say, well, wait a minute, that's Old Testament. That don't have nothing to do with church. Now, remember, the house of God in the Old Testament, no, it was not the church. That's not, but it was a place of God's presence. I come to the house of God because it's a place to be with God. I can be with God at the house. I can be there. I can stay at home and worship God. I can. But you know what I'll be after I'm there a while? I'll be a cold ember. It's what I'll be. We know the story. I'll tell it again, but we know the story about the people that didn't they quit coming to church, and everybody had fireplaces, and the pastor went to see them, and they was talking about this reason why they didn't come, and this, and first thing the pastor done, he got the shovel out of the bucket and got a red hot coal out of the fire and set it over on the hearth, and then they just sat there and visited, and after they visited a while and talked about everything. The pastor said, did you notice that coal there on the hearth that when I laid it out there, when it was inside the fireplace, it was burning red and glowing. But when I set it out there by itself, it get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and there wasn't no heat in it. It was still a coal, and it still belonged in there where the fire is at, but it wasn't by itself. And can I tell you, the church is just that way tonight, and we need the church. We need the church. We ought to thank God for the church, but it's an opportunity to be in the presence of God collectively. Huh? Collectively. Because of the fellowship and the help and the teaching, the preaching, the worship. Listen, I don't come to church to see what you've done all week, although I will ask you because I care. But I come to church to meet with God, with you. It's fun to meet with God with you. Huh? I love it. Do you love it? I mean, I love to come to church and hear you brag on Him. I love to come to church and hear you pray to Him. I love to come to church and hear you sing to Him. Huh? There's some days I ain't got enough wind to sing. I want to sing so big and loud. Huh? But I can't do that and preach both. Are you hearing me? So I come because of you. I come because of Him. We all right? And then I worship Him. Psalms 42 verse 4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. You know, come to the house of God with joy and praise. You know, sometimes I got my bike loaded down with burdens and cares. You knew that? Y'all might not know that, but I do. I come sometimes and I'm loaded down. And you know what I need? I'm amazed that He loves me. Huh? That's what I need. I need you to sing it to me. What are you saying? I know there's some days how I failed you. I need you to sing it to me. And I know how many times I went astray. Oh, but I've learned about your love. Oh, I need this sometime, Jerry. I come and I can leave with joy. I'll be feeling so heavy and you can sing and it helps me so much. Are y'all understanding? I just love the church and you ought to love the church. It ought to be fun to come to church. Huh? It ought to be fun to come to church. See, David went to the house of God and they had priests and they had to do all this work and he still went in there where the power of God was. And it was safe in there. It was good. That's why I try to get you to look at your spiritual life and be spiritual, to walk with God, where the power of God will be here. So when there's no hindrances, but God just shows himself. I love for God just to show off every Sunday. Huh? Think about it. We still okay? Psalm 122, verse 9. It says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Can I tell you, when I come to church, it influences me to do good. I come to church, I don't want to leave church and do worse. When I come to church, I want to do better. Huh? Do you? How many, raise your hand, how many leave the church and say, I can't wait to do worse? It don't enter our mind. Because of the influence of the house of God, that I might do a little better. Huh? I see my faults, I see my failures. Oh man, God, just help me just do a little better. Help me do a little better. I sure do appreciate all you do for me. Oh, if I just do a little better for you, huh? And I get that when I come to the house of God. See, if I stay away, I get so self-righteous. If I stay away and go on my own, then I get the feeling where I don't need nobody, need nothing. Huh? We okay? Follow me now. We should love the church because of what it is. Well, what is it? Huh? What is the church? Well, let's go back. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. You know, that's a wonderful verse there, ain't it? That we ought to know how we ought to behave in the house of the Lord, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This ain't just a building with people in it, huh? I can go up here to the memorial building and there'll be people in the building, but they're not having church. I can go down here to the mayor's place or the tractor bar and it'll be a building with people in it, but they ain't having church. I'm sorry. But I come here with you people and have church. Have church. The pillar and ground of the truth. Huh? Think about that. It's the church of the living God. My God ain't dead. Huh? My God's alive and well. He's still all power. He's still doing everything he said he would do. He ain't missed a lick at anything. Huh? I'm just here to tell you that today. Huh? It's the only thing God built here on earth anyway. He made the earth, but he didn't build nothing else. He said, I will build my church. Is that what he said? Is that what he said, guys? I read there a while ago. I will build my church. I believe he does what he said. I believe he built one. Huh? I believe it's important. We still okay? We should love the church not only because of what it is, huh? But because of what it does. Now, this is so important right here. What it is what God made. What it is what he purchased with his blood. What it is, it's an organism, not an organization. It's an organism that's organized, but not an organization. It's a living organism because it's got you in it. That you're alive and I'm alive. And we're all in this thing together. And we're supposed to love it. We're supposed to love it. You know, I was a member. I reckon I still am. I ain't paid no dues for a while. I reckon my name's still on the books. I was a member of the UMW. But you know, you never knowed it. Yeah, we worked in the mines, and it was supposed to be union mines, and everybody got paid the same. Everybody got paid top rate. There wasn't no divisions, and I never was in a union hall, never did get sworn in. They just took money out of my check. That's all they did. That's all they did. Well, I never did go down there to the union hall and sit in the parking lot. I was a member. Yeah. It never interested me a bit. The only thing that interested me was the man that signed my check. If Ray Lyons or Daryl Keenan didn't sign my check, then I got upset. But other than that, I didn't care. But here, I'll come and sit in the parking lot. In fact, I have come and sat in the parking lot. And nobody be around. Because this is where God, what God made. And I'm a member here. We okay? And I won't be a part of this here. I won't be a part of everything that goes on. Huh? It ain't because I try to be a dictator and do it all. I don't try to micromanage you. Huh? I'll give you something to do. If you don't do it, then we'll talk about it. We'll do it or I'll do it or something else. But if I give it to you. Greg and Maria, y'all take care of the young people. Do I tell y'all how to do it? You've asked me all kinds of things. Have I told you no? I do what you want to do. What have I told you to do about the choir? Every now and then I'll request a song. Other than that, I say, sing a song, then do what you want to do, right? I don't like around you. But now if you don't do it, then I'll do it. You understand? But anyway, I want to come. Everybody still with me? Talk to me tonight if y'all's understanding. But let's look now why we ought to love the church, because of what it does. Well, the church promotes the gospel. Huh? You know, because of the church I got saved? Do you know that? I know it's Christ that died for me, but you know, because of the church I got saved. How come you got saved? Was there any connection to the church when you got saved? So why wasn't saved in church? Did somebody from a church come see you? Huh? Did they have a Sunday morning service? See, I got saved on a Sunday night. Huh? Boy, I'm glad they had church on Sunday nights back in 1973. A lot of churches quit having church on Sunday night. Boy, I'm glad they had church on that Sunday night, May the 27th, 1973. I'm glad. You know what the church does? It makes sure I heard the gospel. And then look at me. How many was saved on a Sunday morning? Anybody here saved on Sunday? Hold your hand up, huh? Anybody saved on a Sunday night? Huh? Heard a few hands on a Sunday night. Hey, did anybody get saved in Sunday school? Anybody here? Any you kids? Anybody here got saved during Sunday school? I know there has been some because Kim's led them to the Lord. I know, huh? But I know there is some. Hey, how about Bible school? Anybody here been saved in Bible school? Huh? Oh, backyard Bible school. Well, who done that? The people down at the pool hall? No, the church come together and had a Bible school. They promoted the gospel. The church was concerned about some little girls that needed Jesus, was they not? Ain't you glad for the church? Huh? Ain't you glad for the church? We have Bible studies. You say, well, nobody ever gets saved at Bible studies. We've had several people saved in Bible studies. Huh? How many here know Big Jim Burdett? Anybody here know Big Jim Burdett? I was a pastor in Mountain Lookout, and I was teaching on 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Huh? That's what I was teaching on. Big Jim and Linda come to church, and I taught and preached. Huh? And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Well, we stood to sing. Big Jim stood there with his arms closed or folded like this. And then before we got done singing, he just went ahead and stepped out and walked up the aisle on a Wednesday night and got saved. And I was preaching on 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Huh? Well, I'm glad for Bible study. Huh? You know I still give the gospel on Wednesday nights? Huh? Are you understanding what I'm saying? We ought to love the church, huh? How about revival? Anybody here saved during a revival? Huh? Or some hands go up. Hey, don't you thank God that a church said, let's have a protracted meeting. Let's not just have Sunday morning church. Let's have a revival and call a man. Let him come and preach. Ain't you glad that God had the church to do something to get you saved during a revival? Ain't you glad? Man, I love the church and what it does. I love it. Bible studies, Bible schools, youth camps. Anybody here saved youth camp? Hold your hand up high if you have. There's a couple of hands scattered around, saved a youth camp. Boy, I'm glad churches take a little time, stop all the vacation and just load up and just have youth camp. Ain't you glad? They didn't have church camp, youth camp a long time, Jamie. Are you listening to me? Ain't you glad? Hey, Kelly, how many days do youth camp? How much? 162. And we're going to put on a youth camp. And you know what will be the goal? Maybe somebody will get saved or walk closer with God. Ain't you glad for what? Do you love the church for what it does? I love the church for what it is. And I love the church for what it does. And that's just in the work of the church. How about the people of the church? How about the intercessory prayer that goes up for my family? Oh, I love the church tonight because I know there's people that pray for me. For my family, my needs. I know you pray for me. Boy, I thank God for the church. I love the church because of what it does. I love the church because of the constant support in trials. When I'm having a problem, having a trial, can I tell you tonight that if you're having a trial and you'll share that you're having a trial, do you realize how many people's on your side tonight? There's 200 people that'll flock to your side if you'll just let them. Do you know that? Boy, I'm glad. I'm thankful. I love the church and what it does. See, you're the church. There's been times many of us have been maybe in a financial problem and maybe not in the last year, maybe years ago. Well, maybe somebody, well, it wasn't a church treasure. Maybe it was just part of the body of the church. You come by and slip the nickel in your pocket, a $100 bill or a $50 bill, or you find you go to pay a bill and you find, hey, it's paid. Who done it? Oh, I just want you to know that I'm thankful for the church and what it does. I think I'll just love it. I think I'll just love it. Become a refuge from the world. Some of y'all may not never had no problems like some of the rest of us. But sometimes if we just get to church, there'll be a little bit of peace. If we just get in the door. Oh, God, just let me get in the door. And there'll be a little bit of peace. Maybe somebody will want to talk to me tonight and I got to stay later. Are you hearing me tonight? Just a little bit. If I just get there. You may know what I'm talking about tonight. A place of peace from the commotion. Man, it's loud out there. Y'all know that? Talk to me tonight. Y'all know it's loud out there? Boy, I could come to church and there's peace from the commotion. We still all right? We ought to love the church because of who's in it. Family. 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 That's all that's in it. That's all that's in the church is family. Anybody else, if they're not saved, they're just visiting. But whoever belongs in the church, you be my brother, you be my sister. Little brothers, big brothers. Little sisters, big sisters. You realize that, don't you? Ain't no parents in here. Y'all understand ain't no parents in here. Can I say that again? Ain't no parents in here. We all be kids. We all be family. We all be brothers and sisters. No mommies and daddies that's got their own agenda and wanting their own way. No, 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 no. There's one Lord over the whole thing, but the rest of us be brothers and sisters. Huh? We okay? Acts 2, 44 through 47 says, and all that believed were together. Oh, God, help us to be a first century church again. And all that believed were together and all had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, I would that we loved the church. I would that we loved the church tonight. I love the church. I love it for who's in it. Huh? Brothers and sisters, fellow Christians, friends. Huh? There are no enemies in the church. There are no enemies in the church. Look up the word enemy. There's no enemies in the church. If there's an enemy in the church, it's because your heart ain't right with that person. If you believe that person to be an enemy, your heart's the heart that's wrong. And I'm going to say that again because I don't think nobody heard it. If you think there's an enemy in this church, that you have an enemy, then you have a heart problem. Because there ain't no enemy. They may be a crummy brother or sister, but there ain't no enemy. All right? There ain't no enemy. And if you feel like they're an enemy, then and you've let it go more than 12 hours through the day, you're not right with God. And your prayers are hindered, and you're wrong. So don't praise him. Don't pray. Don't raise no need to do anything until you fix it. there's a snag, Teddy. You told me, you know. It's up here every now and then. I don't run over every now and then. It's like stepping on a rake. You ever step on a rake when it wasn't turning and hit you in the nose? That's the way it is. When I talk about problems or grudges or loving one another, I step on that rake when I'm up here. This hits me. I don't know if y'all throwing it down in front of me or if it's just laying up here. I don't know. How can I show my love? How can I show my love? Well, how about we show the church the same grace and mercy that you desire, that I desire? Huh? How about I show you the same grace and mercy that I desire from you? Huh? How about that? See, when I mess up with you, I really wish you'd forgive me. I really wish you'd give me another chance. I really wish you wouldn't write me off. I really wish you wouldn't throw me under the bus. I really wish you wouldn't spit on me. I really wish you wouldn't throw me away. So maybe I need to show you the same grace and mercy that I desire. We okay there? How about we show ourselves dependable? Huh? You know, it's so hard to pastor a church, in case y'all didn't know, because everything's voluntary. Everything in the church is voluntary. You got to volunteer to sing, you got to volunteer to pray, you got to volunteer to testify, you got to volunteer to run buses, you got to volunteer to visit, you got to volunteer to do youth camp, you got to volunteer to clean the church. Even though it's a job, you still got to volunteer. At least you got to acknowledge you'll do it. All right, you got to volunteer to shovel snow. You got to volunteer for everything. You know, because it ain't a business. So, and that being said, if I'm gonna volunteer, then I need to be dependable. Well, you say, well, I ain't doing nothing. Yeah, you are. You join the church. You come to church here. Well, I'm not a member. Yes, you are. There's a lot of preliminaries we go through. But if you're born again and you're coming to church here, that's where you belong. If you're going to court us that long and then leave us cold turkey, then you just need to go ahead and go. Everybody understand that? I mean, we're in this together, ain't we? I mean, surely you ain't going to lead me on that far. Right? So we all be dependable. That means if we volunteer to do it, then we all make sure it's done to the best of our ability. Not do it the way I would do it. Do it the best way you can do it. And if it ain't good enough, we'll get you some help. Right? All right? But what we ain't going to do, we ain't going to sit and criticize you because you volunteered and we didn't. Because that wouldn't be love, would it? That wouldn't be showing you no grace. We're almost done. Hang with me now. How about we speak well of our church to others? How about we speak well of it? That's how I can show the love for my church, that I speak well of my church. Now, you say, well, I never do say nothing about church. Do you ever say anything about any part of the church? Anybody that goes? Do you ever speak ill about them? That's not speaking well, because it ain't the building, it's the people in it. Huh? So, do you speak well of your church to others? When you go home at night after church is over, do you speak well of the people that you went to church with? Do the children hear you speaking evil? Do the children know that the church is a good place for them to run, or are they ready when they get out to run because they don't want to go to church? See, if I tell everybody how good groceries is, or how good the food is, a certain restaurant. They got a little restaurant right up the road here, but it's the best food. You ain't never eating no food. I mean, it don't matter what you want, it's the best food. The service is great. The waiters are good. The waitresses are good. The dishes are clean. The forks are clean. The floors, everything about it's good. And you say, well, I won't go there. No, you'll say, well, I want to go there.
That's right.
Huh? But if you go home maybe and talk about the church and tell your kids about so-and-so, about what so-and-so's done, about what so-and-so's doing, how they're acting, then the kids watch them and they watch you. They watch him and they watch you. And then when they get old enough, say, you going to church? No. No. No need me going. Not the way y'all act. And don't say it don't happen, because I know it happened. How about we support it the best you can financially? Yeah. We can call it tithing, whatever you want to do it. We just need to support the best we can financially. And I don't have no problem with nobody there. I'm not saying nothing about nobody. I'm just telling you, that's how we show our love. With support. We okay? All right. How about 1 Peter chapter 2? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, listen to the wording of this. Lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking. Do it like your newborn babe who desires the sincere milk of the word. Everybody with me? That you may grow thereby. Not that I might grow thereby eating the milk, that I might grow thereby laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking. I'm going to be as a little baby that desire to grow, but I need to quit that other stuff or I ain't going to grow. Did everybody catch it? If I do that, I ain't going to grow. Huh? If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a lively stone disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Huh? Holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, but Christ. Jesus Christ. We're talking about the church still. Talking about the house of God still. Talking about the church he purchased with his blood still. Talking about Mountain State Baptist Church still. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, that verse has always bothered me. Because I'm good at provoking. But not the good works. Huh? I need to learn to provoke to good works. And we're about done. Everybody hang with me now. I know you're tired. Then it goes on and says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, let's read it all in context. Let us consider one another. All these things go together. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. All right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is going to be considering one another and provoking love and good works. Huh? Now, the manner of some is forsook it, but exhort one another. Do you know that it exhorts when we don't when we do provoke and to love and good works, and when we come together, it exhorts one, it encourages, it helps, it lifts up. Church is important. I'm trying to get you to see church is important. Dissect it all, and you'll see how much is in that verse. And do it more as we know Christ is coming. Huh? That's what that means. Okay? Now, this will be our last passage of Scripture, and this will finish us up. We'll have communion. And men we've talked to, be ready there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body, we're talking about the church that he purchased with his blood. We're talking about the church that he built. We're talking about Mount State Baptist Church. We're talking about all about the house of the Lord, the house of God, the church, huh? Everything. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. They were brothers and sisters, were one body. We're not parents, as I said a while ago. Everybody still with me? For by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, right? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Sure it is. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, sure it is. Huh? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? We're all different. We're all come from every walk of life. And we've all got a past, huh? You understand that the greatest Christian that we have written in the Bible, the greatest man born a woman, is John the Baptist, Jesus said. But I believe the greatest Christian to me would be the Apostle Paul. Huh? And you know what he was the day before he got blinded? He was a murderer. The day before. What were you the day before you got saved? The day before you got saved, you was as wicked as hell. Headed to hell. The day before you got saved. Huh? Now you're necessary. Now you're necessary. We okay? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. We need to camp there. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Everybody is necessary. Everybody. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. See, everybody ain't strong. Everybody's not a spiritual giant. Everybody's not a prayer warrior. Everybody don't walk on water like Peter. Some are feeble. And they're just as necessary. What a lot of preachers want, sometimes we catch ourselves wanting a bunch of water walkers. But sometimes we ain't got that. We still okay? And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Huh? That there should be no schism or division. There shouldn't be no problem. Should be no arguing in the body. No fussing. Is that right, Brother Rick? No fussing allowed. Huh? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same... Wait a minute. We can't read that. Let's take that out. That the members should have the same care one for another. You mean I can't be partial? You mean I got to love everybody equally? You mean I can't have a click? I want a click. I want a click. I want a click. I ain't never been to click. I want a click. Nah. Don't work that way, does it? And where the one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Where one member be honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Loving the church. Father, help us to love what you've made. Help us to love what you've given us. Help us to love our church tonight. Thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Cheryl, you just play. Gentlemen, you come. You've been talked to about serving communion. You come on tonight.